You know, I want to begin by just thanking you for your input, for your making yourselves available to cover some of the empty spots when I am away, or myself and Jody, and in this case, half the church was away. You know, we had our youth retreat last weekend, and many of our people were gone, and then myself was ministering at Covenant Acres for 4 days, and what a great opportunity. And we talk about taking the Word of God outside the four walls. The Word of God is never meant to stay stuck inside the four walls. It's just a place for us to gather, a place where we can experience God. It's a place where we can take in the Word of God together, right? But it doesn't stay here. It just begins here, you know? And when we go home, back to our homes, our workplaces, our schools, and whatnot, we take the Word of God with us. And because of your willingness to in a sense, allow us to do these things, and your willingness to pick up the slack, we're able to take the Word out to other places. And I sincerely, from my heart, thank you for that very thing. And that allows the kingdom of God to just keep moving forward. Amen? Amen. And boy, I had the opportunity while I was at Covenant Acres to it was an especially difficult time for us because there was a number of things going on. I was separated from my family for those 4 days. And so I was at Covenant Acres. Jody and Alex were at Bliss. Colin was here at home with Ken and Sue. And so we were all split up all over the place. It was Alex's birthday over that weekend and my anniversary of 28 years over that weekend as well. So, yeah, that just that made things a little bit more difficult, but we considered that an honor to be able to set aside those things that are important to us and focus on something that was even more important. And so we've been, and then Friday we dropped Alex off to college. My only daughter, first year of college, and so that was tough. And Mama is still struggling with that even this morning. So we're all trying to get used to these things. And so it has been a crazy week and a half here or so for our family, but great, great things at the same time, you know. And that word was saying that, you know, I'm in the valleys. I'm in the valleys. And everybody wants to go to the mountaintop because the mountaintop, boy, that's where the sun's at. And all these great things, you know, that's where the power is at. But you know what? It's in the valleys that there is so much fruit. If you look in the valleys, all of the nutrients from the mountains wash down into the valleys. And the valleys, in most cases, are plush. And they're well-watered areas and fruitful. But the valleys are, in a sense, sometimes shaded from the sun. And sometimes there's clouds in those valleys and whatnot. And in our lives, oftentimes, it's the same way. You know, we want everything to go perfect, you know? And I used to hear my kids pray at night before bed, and one of them would pray, and let everything go well, don't let there be any problems. And you know what? I was like, where'd he get that from? But he got that from me. Because that's what we want, isn't it? We want to go through life without any problems. We just want to sail right through, and we don't want to experience any pain. Let's just avoid the pain. If there's pain right there, let's just stay way far away from that, kind of like we would stay away from somebody who got the flu, right? Let me just give you some room over there, and I'm just going to go over here where it's nice and easy, and we'll just skate right along. But you know what? That's not the way life is. That's not normal, if you think about it. And it's during the difficult times in our lives that God pulls out of us things that are valuable, things that make us strong, things that build our faith, something that's really valuable to Him. And there are times in our lives when we are left, maybe we had something that was really secure over here for a while, and maybe we're making good money over here, or things are really well. Well, all of a sudden you feel God leading you in a different direction, and you feel like this plant here has been, you know, taking some root here for some time, and you feel like He's got a hold of it like this, and he's like wrenching on it. And he pulled that thing right out of the ground over there, and he's planting it back in the ground over here. And so you're in a spot where you're like, well, what's all this, Lord? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to do? What's my thing? where are you taking me here? Where do you want me to go? And you feel like a fish out of water in some cases, and you're not sure where to go. You're not sure how to respond. And in those times, you press in to God. You press in to Him. You learn how to listen for Him. You learn how to watch for His leading. You learn how to look for the green light. Do you know what I'm saying? You learn how to knock on the doors. Seek, and you will find. Ask, you will receive. Knock, and the door will be open to you. And so God leads us, but in that scripture, Psalm 119, 105, you know it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Some of you just returned from Bliss. Those of you who were at Bliss are well accustomed now with walking scary and treacherous trails in the night time when it's dark. And there's so much stuff that you can experience on those trails at night. Things that you would never think. And it's the same way in our lives, you know. If we don't have the Word of God as a lamp to our feet, we're not sure where to go. We're not sure if there's something in the way that we're going to trip over or hurt us. We're not sure if we're going to take a wrong way. Have any of you ever done that? I'm sure not you, but ever taken the wrong way before? Anybody willing to admit that? There we go. Okay, that's a little. We've been there together. And we learned from it. We learned how to follow. We learned to recognize God's leading. And there's that scripture that says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, there is destruction. And so when we start off on God's path and we're pretty sure where we're going, and pretty soon there's other things that catch our attention maybe, or different things, you know, and you get sidetracked, you know, things that would steal your focus from the Savior. I think of Peter when he was in the boat. They were crossing over the lake, and the storm came up. You remember that? And they were fearing for their lives. And off in the distance, they see this glow maybe. This glow coming to them. And what do they say? Oh no, it's a ghost. That's what they said. It's a ghost. It wasn't a ghost. It was the Lord Jesus. And do you remember what He said? Don't be afraid. It's me. It's me. And what did Peter say? Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Let's see how you do. Can you imagine? Can you picture that in your mind, okay? And these are eyewitness accounts. Okay? So here's Peter. Peter's always wanting to be with Jesus. I just love that about Peter. And he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the waves. Jesus says, okay. Let's see how he does. Come on. Come on. And so Peter, can you imagine that first step? Getting out of a boat in the middle of a storm, stepping onto... I just can't imagine it. And he's getting out of the boat and he's stepping. What's going to happen to me? And when he puts the weight on there ain't no going back. You put your weight on that first, on that foot to take the first step, there's no going back. Your weight is already there. And so he takes that first step and he stands on the water.
Hallelujah.
He's standing on the water walking to Jesus. Now, we're not sure how far away it was. It really don't matter. It really don't matter when you're walking on the water. I mean, if you got it, you got it. If you don't, you're done. Right? And so Peter, he gets down out of the boat, and he's like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And he's walking to his Savior. Do you think Peter would ever forget that? Never in a million years. Do you think his friends would ever forget that? Never in a million years. And here he is. He's walking. He's walking to Jesus. And he's looking at Jesus. Jesus is like, yeah, you got it. Just like when we're teaching our kids how to walk, right? And they're kind of stumbly at first, you know, and they're kind of wobbling around. They're used to holding on to our thumbs or our fingers, you know. And they take a few steps by themselves, and gradually they get the hang of it after falling down a few times. And here's Peter. He's walking on the water to Jesus, and he's looking him in the eye. But then what happened? The waves began to crash in front of Peter. All right, see, the storm hadn't let up. He's on the water, and he's walking to Jesus. And the waves begin to crash over Peter, and his eyes looked at the water and the waves and not at Jesus. And it was at that moment that Peter went down. He went down. And he cried out to God, to the Lord, save me. You know, save me, Lord. Can you, something like that was happening, right? And what did Jesus say? You of little faith. You did okay, Peter. You need a little more faith there. Come on. All right? Jesus was speaking a lot in those words, and there was a few times that he said that, you of little faith. You need more faith, guys. You need more faith, Peter. How come we couldn't rebuke that demon? You of little faith. You of little faith. God wants our faith strong. It's what we need in our lives. It's what we need in our lives. It means a lot to God. The Bible says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Amen. We need faith. And God is trying to ever so gently, though sometimes it feels like he's trying to kill us, he's trying to bring out the faith that he knows we need in order to effectively live out our calling as followers of Christ. In order to effectively preach the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ to the nations, to the world, to our family, to our workplace, to our school, and so on and so on and so on, to the ends of the earth. Matthew 28:19. Right? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Friends, I think oftentimes we are lacking, we're missing out on what God wants us to do. We don't take enough responsibility. That's not my job, that's the pastor's job. It's the pastor's job to preach the Word of God. Okay? Well, I don't see in the Word of God where it's just my job. Okay? We've talked about this. You guys know that. All right? We're on the same page here, right? Page 792. We're on the same page. All right? It's our job to take the message of the gospel. They call it the ministry of reconciliation. It's our job to take what's in here out there. It don't stay in here. That's not what it's meant to do. This is meant to be out there. It's meant to be on the TV. It's meant to be on the radio. It's meant to be right here. Do you understand that? When we open our mouths, the Word of God, it pours forth like honey on the lips. You know? And it's sweet to taste, and it's truth. And the Bible says, John 8:32, that, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? And the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Friends, our world, our communities need to hear the Word of God and its truth in its entirety. In its entirety. They need to hear it accurately spoken. Okay? The Bible calls it rightly dividing the word of truth. In Timothy, I believe it is. Rightly divided. That means that you're speaking the word of God. You're saying it accurately. You're speaking, you're teaching correct doctrine, what we believe, right? Is essential in the church from the Word of God. In order to do that, it is a prerequisite, if you will. Those of you who went to college, you heard that word, prerequisite. You got to have this before you get that, basically, okay? You got to take this course before you take that course. And so in order for us to accurately speak the Word of God, we need to know it. We need to first know it before we can do the other. The Word of God is so important. The Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you, what? Richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. May there be lots of Christ's words in you. Paraphrase. Okay? Lots of stuff from Jesus inside. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Amen? The world needs the Word of God. The world needs to know the truth because there's so much falseness. There's so many lies being told. There are so many things being spoken just to please people's itching ears. The itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Come on. Tell me how good I am. Tell me what a great leader I am. Tell me all these great things about myself. Tell me that I'm not a sinner. Tell me that I'm living great. Tell me, listen to this, tell me that I'm never going to have to give an account to anybody else. Yeah? That's what I want to hear. Tell me that I don't have to answer to anyone. Yeah. Lay it on me right now. People don't want to hear about living holy lives. People don't want to hear about sin in their lives because it makes them accountable to somebody else. We don't want to be accountable to anyone else. Do you understand that? The world does not want to be accountable to anybody. I'm my own boss. In a sense, I'm my own God. You can't tell me what to do. I don't believe in God, so this is just, that means nothing to me. Well, let me tell you something. It could mean nothing to you, but it's everything to me. Amen. It's everything to me. And whether you believe it or not, it does not change. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change the truth. That's the thing about truth. It don't change. And it don't matter if you believe it, because it don't change. Amen. Do you understand that? The world needs to hear that. The world needs to hear that they do have to answer to somebody. And we don't do that by pointing the finger and saying, you're a sinner, you're a loser, you're not as good as me. We do it with lots of love and lots of patience and lots of grace and mercy. Amen. Like we were shown. Amen. By the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. By the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Friends, that is life-changing things. When people hear that, that God loved them so much that he gave his only begotten son, John 3:16, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. And that scripture continues on to say in verse 17 that God did not send his son into the world to condemn it or to point the finger, all you sinners. He sent his son into the world to do what? To save it through him. Amen. To save the world through him. And all these things that we speak help to correct what people believe, help to correct the fallacies, helped to speak light into the darkness. Do you understand? Because that's what we're doing. We're pushing back the darkness. We talked about this a few weeks ago. We're pushing back the darkness because Satan has his throne here in this place. That's what the Bible says. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 13, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. And in a sense, we said that he's kind of like a boss here, maybe more like a bully. Yeah, that's it. He's more like a bully here in this world, right? And he's causing lots of trouble with the people of God, the children of God, and that makes God really upset. He knows that he can't do anything to God or to Jesus. He can't do anything like that, but he can get at his babies. Yeah? We're his children. We are the things that are important to him. And so he'll do whatever he can to pull us down. The enemy in John 10:10 comes but to kill and to steal and destroy. Yeah? That's all he wants to do. He wants to cause trouble with you. And if we are not prepared, we don't know how to fight him. We don't know. And so we're going into battle. We got a weapon, but we don't know how to use it. What good is that? We need to be trained in our weapons. And the weapons, as the Bible says, are not weapons. They're not carnal weapons, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. On the contrary, they have divine power. The Bible says that we don't war as the world wars. We don't fight as the world fights. We don't use the same weapons. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power. Power from God, that means. For the tearing down of strongholds. How about that? For the tearing down of strongholds. God has equipped every believer with the tools that we need to live out our lives according to his word. And we take captive, the Bible says, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take it captive to make it obedient to Christ. The word of God, as it says in Hebrews 4:12, is a double-edged sword, sharper than any double-edged sword. You know what a double-edged sword is? It cuts on both sides. You go this way, it cuts. You go that way, it cuts. It's dangerous. Yeah? And it's lethal. And it says it's able to cut between bone and marrow, dividing the soul and the spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Excuse me. When we read in, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? I think it's verse 10. And we're talking about the armor of God. The armor of God. So we're talking about how we fight, right? And God has equipped us with things that we need to win, to be conquerors. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. More than conquerors. We don't just survive the battle. We are conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah? And as we read in Ephesians, it talks about various different weapons. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the partial armor of God so that we can... I misspoke there. Full armor of God so that we can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The devil is scheming to take you down. He's scheming to take you down. You realize that? Okay. For those of... I hear people say that, well, the devil and hell and all that stuff, that's not real. I don't believe in that stuff. Well, he's already won. He's already won. Okay? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right? And it goes on to list certain elements of our armor. Okay? Such as the belt of truth. Do we have that up there? The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Do we have that other slide? Breastplate of righteousness. Our feet fitted with the readiness and the preparation of the gospel. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. And it talks about praying. And it talks about being alert. And then continuing to pray for the saints. Okay? Now listen. One thing stands out, okay? That is the sword of the Spirit, okay? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, okay? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon. It's not defensive. In most cases, that sword is offensive. You're moving forward with that thing. Somebody's going to get hurt. Okay? With the word of God, you are moving forward. You are on the offensive. The church of God is moving forward. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? The sword of the Spirit, the word of God, is vital for the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? It's offensive. It's not defensive like a shield or a helmet. It's not for protection per se. It is mostly for offense. For offense. We don't fight as the world fights. The weapons that we fight with are divine. They are from God, and they have divine power for the tearing down of strongholds, casting down every high argument that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ, the Bible says. 1 Peter 5:8, says this: be self-controlled and alert. Why? Be self-controlled and alert. And it gives the reason why. Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. To devour. I love watching nature shows. I've loved it since I was a little kid. And I remember sitting in my grandfather's living room watching Wild Kingdom. Anybody ever watch Wild Kingdom? Love that. Love that show. And now I love listening to David Attenborough, that British accent or whatever he is, you know, commenting on the nature's aspects and different studies and different things like that. But the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And on these nature shows, you can see, they were showing one time just recently where all the water was drying up. And so all these different animals were at the same puddle, a big puddle of water. All right, so there's lions, there's giraffes, there's ostriches, there's hippos, there's elephants. And they're all there together and all their eyes are like watching each other. You know, afraid that somebody's going to move and somebody's going to prey upon them. But they all know it and they're all on high alert, you know. And so really, around the watering hole, there's not a whole lot that happens until they get farther away or night approaches, okay? Or in one case, there was some sort of a storm that came up and it blew a lot of stuff up. You know, everything's dry, blew a lot of dust up in the air. And so the animals were not able to smell where the lions were or see very well. And so the lions took advantage of that. You know that your enemy is taking advantage of you at every opportunity that he can. You know that? But we have the power of the Holy Spirit behind us and within us, empowering us and spurring us on. And we've talked about this 100 times. And we have all the power of heaven at our backs, cheering us on, encouraging us. Go forward. Don't stop. You can do it. You're almost there. And they have handed the baton of faith to us, not knowing, not being able to see the end result. Here you and I are, we've taken the baton of faith, and it's our job to bring it to completion. Amen. Until he returns. Until he returns. Friends, don't take lightly. Don't take lightly the word of God. Don't take lightly the responsibilities that we have as Christians. It's not just about church. That is such a small part of it. Really, it's really important. It really is, okay? It really is important being together. It's important to tithe. It's important to take in teaching. It's important to encourage each other in the faith. And all these things are important. But if we don't take it out, if we just leave it right here, what is the point? We are not fulfilling our God-given task. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And he finishes. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He'll never leave us. It's not an easy road. You're in the valley sometimes. You're in the valley sometimes. But the valley is the most fruitful place to be. And the Bible says, God's word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you. I won't betray you. I will be with you. The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen.
Amen.
We have hope. We have this hope. We carry this hope around in jars of clay. Yeah. This hope we have talks about in Hebrews. This hope we have as an anchor for our souls, the Bible talks about. And that anchor is to hold the ships. You've heard me say this. The anchor is to hold the ships where? In the harbor where it's safe and protected and peaceful. Because if that ship is not anchored, when the storm comes, the wind blows that ship out to sea, out of the safety of the harbor, and it can be dashed against the rocks, and everything on it is gone. Amen. And the Bible says, this hope we have in Christ Jesus as an anchor for our souls, that though the storms of life may rage, we are anchored, our souls are anchored in Christ Jesus. Amen. And will stay in the safety of the harbor in his blessings. Amen?
Amen.
We have this hope, friends. We need to carry that outside of these four walls. We need to carry that with us wherever we go. And don't you silence it. Don't, as the Bible calls, don't put it under a bushel. Don't do it. God has given us that light. And that light needs to shine wherever we go. Wherever we... Don't silence it. Don't put something over it and cover it up. Don't do that. Don't do that. Let that light shine so that all will give glory and thanks to God. Let them see the truth of God lived out in your life. And I want to tell you something else that God has just been speaking to me over and over and over. And it's about confidence. Confidence. You are his child. You are a child of royalty. Do you understand that? When you think about that, it makes you think a little differently. You are a child of the King. All right? And that doesn't mean that you should go around patronizing everybody else. You ain't as good as me. That's not it at all, right? Because we're to be humble, right? That's not it. But when you realize where your roots come from, you are a child of the King. You are a child of the King. You recognize the power and the strength that is behind you. You speak differently. You pray differently. You walk differently. You walk with this humble pride, if there is such a thing. Do you understand that? You got pride that you carry the name of Jesus around with you wherever you go, and yet you're so humbled because he gave himself for you. A humble pride, yeah? We carry around the death of Christ Jesus in us so that others may live. Amen.
Amen.
That is not much of what I had today, but it's where God was leading, friends. And I want to follow where God's leading, okay?
Amen.
I want you to remember this confidence. Confidence. Who you are in Christ. Have this confidence. Not a prideful air, but a strength and courage about you that comes from your faith in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
If we have that confidence, we can accomplish so much more for the kingdom of God.